Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everyone. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And Jim, we start with the gift that keeps on giving for Republicans. It might be the only thing that gives them a shot at maintaining majorities in one or two houses of Congress this year. And that's the Democrats' own ineptitude. We've talked about this before, but it's, like I said, the gift that keeps on giving. Guy Benson, writing over at Town Hall, says Democrats can't stop lying about tax reform, earning fresh Pinocchios as they distort the law's provisions in order to distract from the confirmed fact that 80% of all U.S. taxpayers will get a tax cut under the law, including 91% of the middle class, with only 5% seeing any appreciable bump, most of whom are high-income itemizers from high-tax states. They're also focused on demagoguing the much-needed corporate tax reductions, which Democrats supported way back in the Obama era, and which bring America's uniquely uncompetitive and inefficient statutory and effective taxation levels down to around the average for industrialized nations. So, Nancy Pelosi has famously used the word crumbs for Americans either getting $1,000 or perhaps for a family of four, $2,000 more in their paychecks over the course of the year. And Paul Ryan is no dummy. He's more than happy to explain how this is not exactly crumbs to regular Americans.
I think they're going to be regretful of that, because of just in 20 days, you've seen 2 million families, 2 million workers getting raises and bonuses. You're seeing all these raises being announced. You're seeing, you know, electricity companies announcing that they're lowering rates as a consequence of this.
But as you know, Leader Pelosi is calling all of this, quote, crumbs.
Yeah, I'm sad and surprised she said that. To somebody working at Walmart at the starting wage who just went from $9 an hour to $11 an hour, I don't think that's crumbs. To a person, you know, working paycheck to paycheck, just got a $1,000 bonus, that's not crumbs. I mean, 200,000 workers at AT&T got a $1,000 bonus. Comcast, just one company's investing $50 billion in America, in jobs, in expanding across the country.
Jim, this is great. This is exactly what the Republicans said would happen. This is what happens when the government gets off the backs of corporations and even small businesses. And for the Democrats to say that $1,000 or $2,000 or $1,000 bonuses are basically a waste of time and a distraction, or crumbs, as Nancy Pelosi puts it, really shows they're still just as out of touch as they've always been. And hopefully voters remember that down the road.
Yeah, the amazing thing about Nancy Pelosi is that she has a remarkable instinct to pick the worst ground to fight on, the area where the defense of her position and her beliefs is weakest. Because, for example, if you wanted to say Republicans said they were going to simplify the tax code and they didn't, that's a fair criticism. This did not, you know, this bill, as many benefits as we're seeing, did not make the tax code simpler. Apparently, Ivanka Trump missed a meeting and was still running around saying you're going to be able to do your taxes on a postcard. No, that's not, that did not happen. Certain promises that were made about tax reform that were perhaps always unrealistic did not come to the fore. And while Democrats, particularly Nancy Pelosi, don't have the best record when it comes to addressing the deficit and the debt, you know, look, this will run up $1.5 trillion in new debt. And if you want to object to that, that's fair. Instead, she says crumbs. And in fact, you know, obviously, you know, the $2,000 tax cut for the average family, the folks getting a $1,000 bonus, the folks who are getting increased matching funds to their 401k, like employees of Visa. Look, that's not crumbs. And that's just a dumb argument. But it makes it even worse or even better, Greg, is the observation that way back in, I think it was 2011, part of the efforts to get out of the recession was a reduction in payroll taxes. Now, you know, this was a deduction in, you know, every pay period, it came out to about $40. Now, you can argue that's a lot. You can argue that's not much. But back then, Nancy Pelosi was saying, today's agreement is a victory for the American people. They spoke out clearly, and $40 each paycheck will make a difference. Well, if $40 each paycheck makes a difference, then a $1,000 bonus makes a difference, right? If a $2,000 tax cut, you know, her criteria for what makes a difference and what is actually helping workers is completely arbitrary, depending on whether Republicans passed it or Democrats passed it. And it's, you know, it's bad faith arguments, and it's pretty, you know, it's an advantage for Republicans. I do think the country as a whole would be better off if you could have good faith arguments coming from the leadership of both parties on Capitol Hill.
Well, that's certainly the case. And let's see what other benefits accrue here. As Paul Ryan pointed out in that interview, which I should point out was with Steve Scully on C-SPAN, you know, we're only about 20 days into this. It's been less than a month since this has actually been passed. And we've already seen a lot of companies making important decisions, some of whom have decided not to leave the United States, which is obviously a pretty big deal. So good deal on that front. Let's move to the bad martini, Jim. And it's not often that Hawaii is the centerpiece of our bad martini. It's such a lovely place. But over the weekend, it certainly was. This is the Washington Post story of what happened this weekend. Around 8:05 a.m., the Hawaii emergency employee initiated the internal test. According to a timeline released by the state, from a drop-down menu on a computer program, he saw two options, test missile alert and missile alert. He was supposed to choose the former. As much of the world now knows, he chose the latter, an initiation of a real-life missile alert. In this case, the operator selected the wrong menu option. Hawaii Emergency Management Agency spokesman Richard Raposa told the Washington Post on Sunday. I guess you could say that. Around 8:07 a.m., an errant alert went out to scores of Hawaii residents and tourists on their cell phones. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Later on, it says part of what worsened the situation Saturday was that there was no system in place at the state emergency agency for correcting the error. According to Raposa, the state agency had standing permission through FEMA to use civil warning systems to send out the missile alert, but not to send out a subsequent false alarm alert. And Jim, when I first saw this story, I'm thinking, my computer asked me if I'm sure if I want to delete a file in a Word document. Doesn't there some kind of check here? Turns out there was, and he still said yes. And so the alert went out. And as you point out in the Morning Jolt, National Review's John Fund says, doesn't this sort of mistake mean somebody should get canned? But apparently not, because as Hawaii Emergency Management Administrator Vern Miyagi says, this guy feels bad. He's not doing this on purpose. It was a mistake on his part, and he feels terrible about it. So, Jim, a lot of head scratchers here. Why is there not a way to recall this? What does this say about our need to beef up missile defense? And a lot of other things about what we're prepared for and what we're not.
If you haven't already gone online and seen on YouTube the people who recorded what they were seeing on their television screens on Saturday morning in Hawaii, it must have been absolutely terrifying. It sounds like a scene out of the early part of The Day After or something like that. Imagine getting that signal on your phone. You turn on your TV to get some sort of confirmation or further information, and the same warning is going across the top of the screen telling you to take shelter. A ballistic missile attack is imminent. Now, here's the thing. I ordinarily would say, not only do I want this person fired, I might want them, you know, put in public stocks so people can throw rotten fruit at them for making a mistake like this. But if it really was a drop-down menu, Greg, and it was simply, you know, test missile alert or missile alert with one word difference. Saturday afternoon, I had joked, I'm picturing that somewhere in, you know, the Hawaiian Emergency Management Agency, they have a Keurig coffee maker. And the top button turns it on, the middle button selects the size, and the third button sends out an immediate alert that there's a missile strike about to land. That's the only way it would make sense that something this, you know, but apparently it really was almost that easy, making this almost a comedy of errors if it wasn't so scary and terrifying to people, is that once they sent out the erroneous alert, apparently they realized they had no way to tell people, oh, wait, never mind. This is only a drill. This was an accident. There is no imminent missile attack. And that's why it took them 40 minutes to figure out a way. Apparently, you know, the one silver lining we can take some comfort in is it took about 2 to 3 minutes for U.S. Pacific Command and the rest of the Department of Defense to recognize, no, we have no information indicating a missile launch. This is not, we're not telling you this. Stop telling this there. So at least some parts of our government are working competently. But it is deeply frustrating. I spent a good chunk of Saturday afternoon wondering if this was some sort of hack. Someone malicious had done this, because in a way, I don't know about you, Greg, a hack would almost be reassuring. It would mean that somebody who was bad out there tried to make this happen. It is in some ways almost more frightening if the entire thing could happen entirely by accident by hitting the wrong thing on a drop-down menu.
Jim, I may have solved this. I'm not going to go on the record as saying I figured it out. But the Hawaii Emergency Management Agency Administrator's name is Mr. Miyagi, so I'm guessing the employee's last name is probably La Russa.
Greg, alert on, alert off. It's one hand gesture you have to make to set off the whole thing. So there you go.
All right, Jim, let's move on to our crazy martini now. And before we get to the actual details of this story, I take you in the Wayback Machine, all the way back to our year-end awards, and specifically for Worst Idea. My worst idea was the judge sentencing Bo Bergdahl to zero jail time, and at the very end of that discussion, we had this exchange. But when you look at those crimes and no jail time, Jim, it sends exactly the wrong message.
That is a terrific selection there, Greg. If that is the worst idea of 2017, I predict the worst idea for 2018 will be Bergdahl's speaking tour with Chelsea Manning.
I think they'll run for Congress next year. They're going to wait.
A lot of Democrats would vote for that. Trade in your old congressman for a new one that's a traitor.
There you go, Jim. We had no idea, but we still saw it coming anyway. So CNN, Chelsea Manning, the former Army intelligence analyst who spent several years in prison for leaking classified information, has filed to run as a Democratic candidate for Senate in Maryland. Manning's filing was received January 11th, according to the Federal Election Commission records. Manning did not immediately return CNN's request for a comment Saturday. Manning is one of four Democratic candidates who have filed to run for Senate in Maryland. Incumbent Democratic Senator Ben Cardin, 74, has not yet announced that he would seek a third term in the Senate. His campaign committee has nearly $2 million in cash on hand, according to the FEC. Manning was convicted in 2013 of stealing 750,000 pages of sensitive government documents and videos and leaking them to WikiLeaks, and received a sentence of 35 years in prison on 20 counts, including violating the Espionage Act. After the sentencing, Manning, who was then known as Bradley, identified as transgender and identified as a woman named Chelsea. President Barack Obama commuted Manning's sentence in January 2017, and Manning was released from prison in May of 2017. So, Jim, it's interesting that Manning would choose to run in a state with an incumbent Democrat who at this point we assume is running for re-election. But you've already got folks like Glenn Greenwald out there saying that Cardin is terrible because he likes Israel, and that Manning is great because Manning decided to call out war crimes back during the Iraq War, and of course has been a trailblazer supposedly on transgender issues. So the drumbeat is already out there for why Cardin is horrible and Manning should be elected.
You know, Greg, I really thought that Sheriff Joe Arpaio would be the most controversial figure who'd received a presidential pardon running for Senate this cycle. But that didn't even hold up for an entire week. We now have two people who are infamous having received presidential pardons or commutations of their sentence. Greg, this to me is an indication that nothing good comes of pardons. Once someone has been sentenced to jail for a long period like that, you cannot count on them to simply go off and live quietly and live a happy life somewhere else. No, no, no. These people become gadflies. They become celebrities. They become convinced that they are crusaders for a good and just cause, and they will not go away. It will determine that the world needs them, not merely in the spotlight, not merely having these glossy profiles written about them in places like Vogue magazine. No, no, no. In the U.S. Senate is where they need to be. Now, my guess is that Manning will not win the primary, but there's no guarantees of this. Another indication, not just of the celebrityfication of our politics, but also I'd almost suggest a not just reality show host style of our politics, but now we're getting to the reality show contestants. The politics is turning into a freak show, and it's deeply frustrating because I'd really like to genuinely, other than high treason, what are Chelsea Manning's qualifications for the U.S. Senate?
That and LGBT trailblazer, I'm told.
There we go. So if nothing else, I would like to see Arpaio and Manning debate. Don't waste real, actual, accomplished lawmakers who've actually studied the issues, run for lower offices, and actually done things in their political careers. No, no, no. We can't have anybody doing that. Don't waste their time. Let them argue the real issues. And let, you know, TMZ host the Arpaio Manning debates or something like that.
I'm Harvey Levin, and welcome to this Senate debate.
It's ridiculous, Greg, but at least we can take some reassurance. Thank goodness it's Friday, right?
2018 is crushing 2017 right now, and it's not fun.
Can't wait to 2019, huh? Yeah.
On that note, Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please be sure to tune in again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great day, everyone.